You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, we were all disappointed at how game one went and motivated to get game two.
James, beautiful rainbow.
Don't let that mess with you here. That's just playoff basketball.
Wow! Nice play by Booker. Oh, he got it to go!
What a game we have here, people.
Wide open three. Good! LeBron with the final nail right there.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is
what
it that
though?
We do?
We get a people what they want.
Another packed show of NBA playoff action. The Mavs put the Clippers in trouble. The Nets look great, but we start the show with the Los Angeles Lakers getting a much-needed win to tie up the series against the Suns. Everybody looked good on the Lakers. Jalen, what was your biggest takeaway from this win?
Well, my initial takeaway is it would have looked a lot different down the stretch for the Suns, who didn't score a basket had they had Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. With that being said, the aggression of Anthony Davis and the Lakers making a concerted effort to not only get him the basketball, but get him the basketball in and around the paint at the beginning of the game to have him be aggressive going towards the basket. Anytime he and LeBron James play a playoff game and they combine for 31 points like what happened in game one, they're never gonna win. And how about the fact he himself had 34, LeBron had 23. That's what they're gonna need if this team is not only gonna win this series, but Jacoby, that's what it's gonna take every game. Like, this ain't just us talking about game two for the Lakers. If they're going to win the championship,
you're right,
both of those guys got to be flirting with 30s and 10s every game.
And it's not just them. Dennis Schroeder stepped up last night and played really well. But one thing I noticed about the Lakers was the difference between game one and game two, in addition to LeBron and AG's production, was the defense. This was the number one defensive rated team in the NBA. Didn't look like in game one, but they were in all the passing lanes. The game started with AD getting a block, which got him started. Then they put him on the block. I thought their defense was a key in this game to get this win for sure. Now, Jalen, it was a big win for Los Angeles last night, but there was also a huge loss for Los Angeles last night. The Dallas Mavericks, game two, in the Staples Center at home. Let's set up the Mavs against the Los Angeles Clippers. Jalen, this was such an exciting game, and it was another performance from that man, Luka Doncic. The Clippers have no answer for him defensively. What do they do now against Luka?
They're in trouble. Trouble. And as somebody who was resident Clipper bandwagon soon as Kawhi and Paul George did their press conference, I injured my ankle jumping off the bandwagon last year when our king Jokic came back from 3-1.
Yep.
And this year, I looked at the Clippers playing against the Mavs, and I was like, they can't get upset again. They can't get upset again. And you know what it made me realize?
What's
the
that?
Clippers, as a franchise, just can't handle prosperity. Like, every time that they're the favorite, they come up short. Mm-hmm. Kawhi was balling. What also did I tell you that I didn't like about the Clippers at the beginning of this year? I don't like their collection of guards.
No.
Like, I wish they were like one player. You know what I'm saying? And on the perimeter, you mean to tell me all NBA Luka can't get slowed down by Kawhi, PG, and Patrick Beverley at all?
Those are supposed to be three of the best defenders. And let's not forget this, Jalen Rose. The Clippers lost to the Rockets and the Thunder to get this matchup. Now what are you going to do with it?
And also, I told you, it started in Detroit. Tim Hardaway Jr. been on fire.
Yes.
Like MOP ever since that game. And these two games, while you're talking about headliners, let's make sure we acknowledge how he has played and the numbers that he has put up and how he has shot the ball so very well for three and has given Luka a version of a dynamic duo. Remember we were saying that Kristaps Porzingis was going to be the guy that steps up for the Mavs if they're going to eliminate the Clippers? Well, Tim Hardaway Jr., big shout, nephew, getting it done in games one and two.
Tim Hardaway Jr. looks so good. This Mavs team looks so good, and they're led by Luka. Well, no matter what you did to Luka, switch, double team, blitz. He's got an answer for everything, and he's only in his third year. And there's one thing that I thought while watching Luka play. They've got themselves another franchise cornerstone. They've got themselves another Dirk Nowitzki, and he hit a one-legged three. And guess who was right there in the stands to watch? That man, Dirk Nowitzki. This was a great performance, not just from Luka, but from everyone on this team, including Kristaps Porzingis, who they're going to need if they're going to advance. I love the Dirk-Luka handoff.
Hey, now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, dog. I've been watching the NBA since the 70s. I have never seen a player shoot a three off one leg like that so effortlessly and then go in. I have never seen that before.
It's almost like he was showing out, like he wanted Dirk to see it. I swear he looked over to Dirk after he hit it too. And this is the playoffs. And one of my favorite things about this game had nothing to do with the game. My favorite thing about this game happened after the game when it was the Clippers. I can't even say it without laughing. When the Clippers addressed their level of concern after the game. Let's listen to a couple of the Clippers.
I mean, there is none. You know, there is a competition. We got to rise to the occasion. You know, fact of the matter is if we don't, we're done for. But there's no level of concern.
I'm not concerned. Like I said, they got to win four games.
You're not concerned? You're down. You lost the first two games at home to Luka, and you have no answer for him, and you're not concerned? Like, why not just be honest and say, you know what? We're in trouble. We got to fight back and win this series.
You know, I don't judge by what people say. I judge by what people do. And when you look at that Paul George interview, he wasn't looking up.
Head down.
He was looking down.
Good brains.
Okay? And Luka, they don't have answers for him, Jacoby, because what I noticed is he has the size, the bulk, and the versatility to go against the bigs like Morris, but still he got the skills to boogie against the smaller guys like Beverly. And for all of those Clipper fans out there, and our producer, Demetrius, is one. Like, I just want you guys to know, if y'all lose in the first round to the Dallas Mavs, after getting bounced last year when you were up 3-1 to the Denver Nuggets, I don't want to hear nothing.
No, here's what's happening. If they get bounced in the first round, I'm going to say it right now. Pat Riley gets on the phone and calls Kawhi Leonard and says, Kawhi, I know you love Southern California, but you're also going to love Southern Florida, and we got a spot for you on the Heat. But another subplot about this game that had nothing to do with the game that I love is $50,000 fine for a gentleman named Kristaps Porzingis. Now, why did Kristaps Porzingis go to a strip club in L.A. and think that no one's going to recognize him? How's that even happen, Jay? How's that even happen?
Oh, I know why not. It's a violation of NBA COVID protocol. Except, Jacoby, this is what happens when you don't punish LeBron James. He thought about this, and you know what he told himself? They ain't going to suspend me.
No.
They're going to fine me, but they're not going to suspend me. And so, shout to Porzingis. And by the way, this is the kind of behavior, to me, he need to have his jersey up behind you.
Like, let me tell you, like, he didn't play great in game one. Went to the strip club in between game one and game two. Played well in game two.
And
he
just one of those.
If he's a suspicious basketball player, maybe he needs to go to the strip club between every game.
And also, can I be the guy that's been saying this for like 35 years? We criminalize gambling. I know we criminalize marijuana. I know we criminalize strip clubs. They're actually legal for adults.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know. I'm just saying.
I can't believe 7'3" Kristaps Porzingis really thought that no one's going to notice that he was in the
strip club. Did he look like he was trying to hide?
I love it so much. Jalen, there was also another game, not as interesting as the two that involved the LA teams, because there was an absolute blowout in the game two between the Nets and the Celtics. And Jalen, every time the Nets play, I think to myself, Jalen's going to change his pick. He's going to change his pick of who's coming out the Eastern Conference. You're going to change it today? You're going to change it today? Because they look good. They look good in spurts in game one. They look good of all game two.
Here's what I want everybody to pay attention to, and this is when I'll pick the Nets. When I see them having 30 assists like they did in game two, when they're actually moving the ball, when the shot doesn't come after two passes or one pass or no passes, and then when you spread the love, Joe Harris can now get going. And you see how he was able to step up and knock down shots. But I'm going to point this out. While Boston lost Tatum to an eye injury and they're playing without Jaylen Brown already, one of their most important players overall is Jeff Green. He also left with an injury. Claxton been giving them quality minutes. I know Blake Griffin been giving them quality minutes. LaMarcus Aldridge retired. If Jeff Green is hobbled, they will not advance past the second round. If Jeff Green, I know they got a big three. I know, I'm not foolish. That's how important he is to their team in their closing lineup.
So you're not changing your pick. You're just making some qualifications. Okay, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. But Jalen, there's something that happened in the world of football that we absolutely need to address. The OTA started for the Green Bay Packers. It was big news Aaron Rodgers wasn't there, but we all sort of expected that. But guess what? Almost all of the receiving core for the Green Bay Packers did not show up to OTAs. They're on the group text. This is straight up mutiny at this point. Like, most of the skilled players for Green Bay were not at OTAs. What does this tell you about the future of the Packers?
And one of those guys might not even make the team. What it tells me is that they figured out the fact that while the organization is writing their check, Aaron Rodgers is responsible for their trajectory. And so therefore, if he's not happy and he's not at OTAs, I think it's smart to do a level of solidarity and not show up to represent his best interest. Mm-hmm. In particular, the fact that he works for a company over 15 years and has zero guaranteed money on his contract going into this season.
Look how unbothered Aaron Rodgers is. He's out there with his fiance, Miles Teller. He's just hiking shirtless in Hawaii right now. He's not worried about OTAs or snap counts or workouts or any starting chemistry with his receivers. He's created chemistry with his fiance, and I support it. Jalen, I'm so excited about our next guest on Jalen and Jacoby. One of your friends. You went into your Rolodex and you had who join us next?
The iconic Chuck D from Public Enemy is joining Jalen and Jacoby to talk about his Knicks and more. Stay tuned. DVR the show.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, who do we have the honor of joining us right now?
This icon embodies hip-hop in every way, shape, or form. Not only as a terrific artist, but a leading voice in culture for decades. Please welcome Uncle Chuck D to the program. We're so very gracious you took the time to join us.
Nah, I'm gracious that y'all invited me back for a second time.
Well, we're going to get to your Mets in a second, but we have to start with the New York Knicks. They have a huge game tonight.
That's what I'm saying. That's the New York. What? That's the New York up there.
What did it feel like sitting on the couch watching playoff Knicks basketball?
Well, we finally get a chance, and I don't know, this is blasphemous talking about the overlapping of shows, but finally we get off the dock only so Shaq, Ernie, and Kenny, and they could send us all fishing, but we are really gracious to have this, you know, this shot. It's big stage. That's what it is, and that's figuratively and literally, because this is the big stage for the Knicks to get to after 8 years, and also they are on a big stage where all eyes are on them, and I say the story of this year, as well as the team, is also the Knick fan. And I'm putting together a documentary about Knicks Nation, the 16th man, because the 15th man is what Reggie Bullock said they were, and the 16th man is the Knicks fan, how they was able to adapt to the virtual arenas outside of the arena. So my man over at Knicks Fan TV, CP the franchise, and also other cats like CK2K, Ashley Nicole Moss, people like Simeon Russell at Nothing But Knicks, KOT, you know, JLs. Those cats have really led the movement of the Knicks fans adapting to the Knicks season, and we all got this surprise, man. So that's the movement we got. And I got, you know, Black women filmmakers putting together a film about Knicks Nation. So as the Knicks had their story covered by the media, the Knicks fan also got a story in the Knicks Nation story that we got called Fantastic Voyage. And that touches you off a little bit, Jalen. Fantastic Voyage. Either if it's Coolio or Lakeside, I know you feel that, Jay.
Absolutely. And you've been one of the people that, along with Spike Lee, when I think about the elevation of the Knicks brand for so very long, you've been at the forefront of not only representing your hometown team, but elevating the brand like you just mentioned. Can you describe what it's like being a New York Knicks fan to true New Yorkers?
Yeah, man, I've been a fan since 1967, sitting at the knee of my father. Remembering, I mean, this team doesn't remind me of the 90s Knicks. It reminds me of the 70s Knicks coming out of the late 60s when I first became a fan as an 8, 9, 10-year-old. This defense, fine open man, Tibbs and Red Holtzman are similar. Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett is like a young Willis and Clyde. I see more similarities there. So it's a feel. All we want to do is see effort. It ain't like we had any ulterior motive. You know, like being a Knicks fan, you know, to my oldest daughters, they were like, they're Knicks fans too, but in their minds, we always sucked, and why is daddy doing that, you know, to himself? So yeah, we feel the pain. We get the pain. So in tonight's game, it's about, you know, the effort and that we could, you know, tie it up. Like I said, big stage, big stage. You played there before, Jalen. I played at the Garden. The difference in concerts is that every second in a concert is like the last 15 seconds in a tight basketball game. Every second counts when you're in a concert because you're only there for a little bit and you could be up out of there and the crowd could leave you like that. So that's what crunch time is in the Garden. And I know that a lot of the Knicks had seen that for the first time at that intensity. Playoff basketball in New York City ain't nothing like it, and it's two teams doing it. But like, I'm a Knicks fan, man, so you know that's where it's all at.
You mentioned that there's two teams in New York City. The Nets have three superstars, but no one seems to care around the city. Like, I'm here in the streets of Manhattan, it just seems like they only have the Knicks, and the Nets might as well still be in New Jersey. Explain that philosophy as a New Yorker.
I'm from Long Island, man. Strong Island. The Nets still got that curse for trading Dr. J down the New Jersey Turnpike. Like the Knicks, we had the curse of just peddling away Patrick Ewing for nothing. So we tried to get out of that curse. The Nets got the Dr. J curse in 76. So, you know, we got to also have the theory of we unbought and we unbossed. So, you know, it's about the effort. So the other team, you know, hey, you know, don't the Russian guy own it? Give Dr. J some super stock, and maybe that curse will come off.
Very well said. And Marv Albert, who's synonymous also with the Knicks, announced that he's retiring at the end of this year. And you've also acknowledged how he's influenced your rap style. Would you like to pay homage to him and how he's been an influence on your rap style?
Yeah, Marv Albert, simple as that. You know, growing up 8, 9, 10 years old, listening to Marv Albert on the radio announce basketball games and importantly, hockey games, there was nothing like his flow, his bass, his inflections, his rhythms. By the time everybody nationally had gotten Marv Albert, he was already a legend. He was a legend, and nobody could understand, like, How does this dude get so soulful, man? But I guess it comes out. God works in mysterious ways, you know? So I influence my flow and my inflections.
In regards to tonight's game, they need a win. You can't lose the first two at home. What do you think they can do to adjust to beat the Hawks tonight?
Well, as a fan, and I say this also in most respect, because I got to big up my man Jay Rose, you know, was stepping up back in the day for Kwame Brown. Meaning, as a fan, we shouldn't overstep our boundaries and understand professionals are just at another level, and we should be fanatics of it. So we look at the game, we give our opinion, but respect the unbelievable level that these cats are all bringing to the court. And so when it comes down, and only players should talk about players, you know, whether it's Jax or, you know, or whatever, that they could talk in that realm. As fans, we watch it, we applaud it. So my opinion about the game tonight, I would say OGs matter. You know, Alec Burks, you know, Taj was amazing. Of course, D Rose. I mean, OGs matter. Coaches matter, man. And I understand, you know, the whole thing of the marketing and the young players and all that. But playoff time, OGs matter, man. And hopefully we conduct the injuries and see the effort out there. And, you know, Atlanta got weapons. They got tools. But we have something like the great Isaiah Thomas said, it's not a matter of skills, but it's a battle of wills, man. And that's a whole nother level, man. And this is all new for all of us. It's all new for fans. It's new for the league. Everybody's gotten back into their places post-pandemic. And it's definitely new for a lot of the players. And also, we have to respect the fact that all these cats are still young, man. So, you know, in their 20s, man, we have to have a respect for that, of what they're going through, because it's for the first time they're going through. So they could also get dazzled by the lights and stuff like that. So as a fan, I just think that in playoff basketball, the first time being here is unexpected, it's unprecedented. And, you know, I think maybe, and I have to ask the OG Jalen about this, it's like, don't it take like 6 to 7 quarters to get settled in to know where you at?
Absolutely. And a perfect example, Exhibit A, Julius Randle, because he led the league in isolations this year, and he was also top two in minutes. And so what ends up happening is you're able to isolate and not get doubled or triple teamed as much in the regular season. But as you saw in game one, they double teamed and they made him play in the crowd a lot. So now he's got to move faster. He got to move faster. And I think that's one of the adjustments that you're going to see him make tonight, is play with more tempo.
Yeah. Well, I would say this, that every team out there got their nation of fans. We put together this this Nick Nation fan. It will be a template that the world, the virtual world out there, is another thing outside the arenas that people go to the games, and also you have people watch the TV. And in that middle ground, you know, that area will also set out a fantastic voyage. Also, another thing that I'm doing is that we have our own platform called rstvapp.com, and over on Rap Station, we try to do with rap music and hip hop, like you guys do so well on your show and also ESPN. We try to organize it, make it make sense. Also tell people around the world that how great and fantastic it is. I'd like to ask you guys a question.
Sure.
One question, sports question. With the league going to Africa, with the African League coming out, right? What do you think should be the area of influence, the way that the media is screaming over the Joker or Luka? Does Africa pick up the Balkan style, or do they look at the USA AAU style as being the preeminent style to actually signify a place learning the game?
I got you, Uncle Chuck. So I was covering the draft like 5 years ago, and it was the fewest American-born players taken in the first round. I think it was only like 5 of them. And I said that night to American-born players,
you got to go harder now because then the NBA is an international game. Like, the NFL is an American game. They don't have international players, in theory, in the NBA.
Right. And same with baseball.
Correct. And the players that you describe, they get a head start because they get a chance to play pro earlier. Like, Luka's been a pro since he was 15, and the Joker and these guys, and playing by those same rules while they were young as they started to get older. And that's what we got to see, not only from Africa, but from across the nation, how we're allowing these young people to get this food, get this knowledge of what it's like to play at an elite level younger. And that's why you see so many prospects are now going to the G League, that are going overseas and not necessarily choosing the collegiate route because they want to get that experience while they're a lot younger.
Wow, yeah. And I say it's a beautiful game to watch, man. And it could be nothing better than the fans because this game is great. All sports are great. Breaking out of the pandemic with cats is closed in their cribs. And now everybody gets to participate as a fan, know our boundaries and have a good time, man.
Absolutely. Chuck, we would be remiss if we didn't point out to you, I'm sure you know, that yesterday marked the 1 year anniversary of the murder of George Floyd. And now that we've had a year to look back at that, how do you think the world has changed and what do you want to see moving forward?
It's definitely a time to pay more attention than ever before. Policies are being made. Don't sleep at all. Also, I also tell people that if you got a thing in your pocket that talks about the World Wide Web and it has access to the World Wide Web, we should be more internationally attuned on what's going on because it has effects, whether it's climate or whether it's just the area of testy governments going at each other. So you don't want to get into the isms and you don't want to get into the whole thing of being derogatory towards any human being for anything. And policies are being set that are intentionally derogatory towards human beings based on their characteristics instead of their character. So stay attention, pay attention. It's the cheapest price that you can pay. And a year since George Floyd's death, we've had incidents along the line, and scarily so, if that's such a word, there are more to come. So, you know, OGs, parents, coaches, community people, they matter, you know.
Before we let you get out of here, I have to acknowledge the fact that you've been a leading voice for decades. And now you see the picture behind me, the Ali Summit.
Right.
How have you seen the relationship between athletes like Tommy Smith and John Carlos, the sacrifice they made at the Olympics, the Ali Summit picture behind me, and as it's progressed, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, he chose to pray during the flag, and Craig Hodges and Colin Kaepernick. How have you seen society adjust to athletes and public figures using their voices? Because I remember many times you, like Muhammad Ali, were vilified for your voice.
Yeah, well, let's not get it twisted. Athletes and entertainers, we are towers. And we're like transmitters. You got to transmit that energy to people that do real things. Real people do real things every day. They might not want to wake up at 6:30 in the morning and go through an hour and a half of traffic to get to their daily job, but they do that every day. If we have the attention that's there for 5, 10, 15 years or whatever, then we should do our best to divert our energy and attention towards the deeds and the great things that they're doing. Once you get twisted and thinking that you are the leader without doing every day, every minute, hour to hour work, then that's a problem. So you have to take that applause and that energy of being a leader in society and really seriously, you know, crowd up with people doing real things relentlessly all the time, you know. So that is very important, man. You have an incident that happens over in Gaza with, you know, with the Palestinians, it's important for athletes to speak out because you got people in the middle of that that were working at trying to make that situation better and fighting off, you know, atrocities. So once an athlete feels that they're pressured to say these particular things without having somebody connected to them that knows exactly what they're talking about because they're in the trenches, then that's when it gets into problem areas. You got to bring real people into the mix.
Really well put. It's been an honor having you on the show. You're welcome to come back anytime. Let's go,
Thank
Knicks.
You very much, Legend. I love you. I appreciate you.
No, I appreciate y'all, man. Go Knicks, but it's a go league. It's a good thing, and it's great to be a fan.
We'll be back with more right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Huge triple header on Friday night on ESPN and ABC. Look at all those games. The last one, the Clippers trying to hold on. In advance of game two between the Knicks and the Hawks, here's what NYC Mayor Bill de Blasio had to say about Trae Young.
This is about basketball. I have an important official announcement. This is very serious. Want to get this out? Message to Trae Young on behalf of the people of New York City and anyone who cares about actually playing basketball the right way. Stop hunting for fouls, Trae. I want to quote Steve Nash, one of the great player, great coach. He says, quote unquote, that's not basketball. Trae, that Hawk's not going to fly in New York City. Come on. Play the game the right way. See if you can win. I think the Knicks are going to teach you a lesson.
Jalen, this is the same guy that wore Nets gear last time. He was at the same podium, and there's something me and him have in common. He's a Dicey fan. Because I'm going to jump off the Knicks bandwagon, jump on the Nets bandwagon the second that they lose.
Funny what? 7 days can change. It was exactly. All good just a week ago.
Jalen, we have a game between the Grizzlies and Jazz tonight. What do you expect to see in that one?
The return of Donovan Mitchell. I expect him to play a terrific game. The Utah Jazz win game two. This is going to be a long series. You know how much I love both of these squads. It's going to be an exciting series.
We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN at 2 p.m. Big shout to Chuck T. Jalen, there's a lot of things I want to discuss with you that we didn't have room to put in the show. Number one, Anthony Davis groin kick to Crowder. Intentional, unintentional, flagrant one, the right thing, or should he have been ejected, or should it have just been completely ignored because it seemed to me unintentional? Your thoughts?
I believe it was unintentional, but a reflex. It's one of those things that you could do to somebody that could be constituted as being an accident, but you can also do it on purpose. I'm not proud of this story. Rest in peace to the late, great Kobe Bryant. No one ever questioned when I put my foot underneath Kobe's, when Kobe went up for a jump shot and I put my foot underneath his so that he could come down on mine. Nobody questioned it. That happened in 2000. The rest of the world didn't even discuss it until 2010 when we did a story time about it. And the reason why I felt compelled to tell the story then is because it didn't cause him to have a horrific injury. He went on to win three championships early in his career. And I think he had won a fourth one once I started talking about this. And then lastly, he torched the Raptors and my squad for 81. So I felt like that karma made it squashed. I felt like he got payback. And so that's why I was able to share the story.
So if Anthony Davis kicks him in the thigh and he doesn't get hurt, he doesn't get a flagrant, he doesn't get anything. But for some reason, and I like this, I support this, the league has protected the male genitalia region. There's too much of it going on in the league. So now if you get near that region, it's going to be a problem. Big shout to the league getting together, making sure that happened.
Now, with that being said, that reflects in that motion by Anthony Davis, while considered unintentional, he should be ejected from the game immediately, put in the handcuffs, drove immediately to the police office station, had to do 24 hours behind bars.
No, completely disagree. Completely disagree.
Everybody knows I'm joking.
Completely disagree. Well, Jalen, another thing I want to talk to you about in advance of the Game 3 in Boston, okay? Now, this series is not competitive. That game was not competitive. You could tell early on, unlike Game 1, the Celtics were going to lose this one, and the Nets put on an absolute show. So now the subplot is not, can the Celtics even the series? The subplot is Kyrie Irving's return to Boston. And in advance of his return to Boston, he sort of like expressed his concern about belligerence and subtle racism. What do you think he's trying to say?
He's highlighting his truth, and you can't be mad at him about that. What I will say as a player, if I've heard racist things come from the audience, it wasn't more pronounced in Boston than maybe it was somewhere else, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I understand that Boston was one of the slower cities to kind of integrate and accept black people. And it's highlighted by the pain that Bill Russell still carries as somebody who won championships there and played there and is an iconic figure in sports and as a humanitarian. But to hear some of the stories he has to tell about his time in Boston, that's Holy Grail type stuff. And you just don't shake that as a city, as a fan base, and your reputation never really gets over that behavior. And rightfully so. Anytime Bill Russell can tell a story about not being at home and Bostonians breaking in his house and leaving feces everywhere, anytime he can tell a story about the great Ted Williams hitting 400 and getting a freeway or a highway named after him while he had 11 championships and still at that point didn't have nothing named after him. So Boston earned that reputation. And for Kyrie, I think he's highlighting it going into the matchup. So now the fans are going to be on notice. Security's going to be on notice as well as the teams in the league. So anything that gets said out of the ordinary because of this heightened awareness, that fan is now going to be punished.
I mean, I would say I grew up in Amherst, Massachusetts, but my dad lived in Cambridge, which is basically like what Brooklyn is to New York. And while I was there, I never experienced any racism at Fenway Park or Boston Garden. Never heard anybody speak like that. None of my friends or anybody around me in my circle spoke like that. So I sort of thought it was an unwarranted reputation for that city. However, as I got older, the more people I talked to that had visited or gone to college there that didn't look like me, they each sort of had their own experiences, and they said that that city, they had more sort of racist experience than others. So I eventually had to accept that perhaps my experience didn't mirror theirs in that city. But one thing I do know is the Celtics fans ain't going to be cheering for the Celtics to win. They're just going to turn their vitriol towards Kyrie Irving. Like, that's what's going to turn into, because they're not winning this series, so they're going to buy their ticket and they're going to scream at Kyrie Irving. That's kind of what's going to happen, and I think that he knows that. So
that's
he's just
he
kind
wants.
Of like, he's just kind of setting it up for that. But it does not matter, because this series has not been competitive and it will not be competitive. And I also want to shout out something that I said to you off wax before the show. I like Kyrie Irving's little mini fro he's got going on. It looks really balanced. It looks like he works on it. It just looks great. I haven't seen that kind of mini fro for a while in the league. I like it. Shout out to him.
It's one of those styles that it has to have the perfect length.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, look over my shoulder. You see that Ali Summit? Look at that young Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
You see that fro?
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's a source of pride with my people. And just so you know, don't be surprised when you see me rocking a pick inside of this thing, doing the exact same thing, you know what I mean? Embodying the culture. Because that pick with the fist on it represented a source of pride. And so did that afro. And it reminds me of my, when I was little, I think the hair product was called Stay Soft Fro. Stay Soft Fro.
Kyrie. I love you asking me for confirmation. Like, no, I have no idea what hair product people use for their afros.
Well, I was actually asking Tommy, but he ain't got a microphone.
You were asking Reg and Tommy and Demetrius. Well, I'll say this. I know if you ever do rock that pick with the black fist, you're going to do it on Jalen Jacoby, not an NBA countdown. You know what I mean? I know which Jalen we get here on this show and which Jalen they get on NBA countdown.
No doubt.
I also want to update our – go ahead.
But also, let me say something about content creation. And I had this conversation about somebody I had this conversation with a prominent person in the industry, and I'm not going to say her name, but like, I remember telling her how the media that I, for example, do on Get Up and how I dress is different from Countdown, which is also different from J&J. And this is a prominent person in the industry, and they didn't understand that. And it's almost like when people compare NBA Countdown to Inside the NBA. Like, I can't front. When people compare those shows, it's like me telling you that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a point guard. Like, I look at that person like, you really don't know what you're talking about. Like you really don't know the industry. And so, on Countdown, that's an ABC show that comes on at 12 noon on a Sunday. That means 8-year-olds are watching and 80-year-olds are watching. Jacoby, you've done stand-up comedy. You already know the jokes that you say on the Disney Network at 12 in the afternoon are vastly different than things people are going to say on NBA TV or NBA Tonight or Inside the NBA at 1 a.m. If you don't know that, I don't know what to tell you. What they're doing on that show, and I bring it back to us, is actually what we're doing on this show. So it wouldn't even look right if I showed up every day with a shirt and a tie to do this show with a Jada Kiss bus behind me, with a Jay-Z, Nas, and Eminem album cover behind me. It's the zen of the show.
No,
so
it's
yeah, the pick fits right in.
I do wonder about this because executives don't listen to the podcast. We always say that so we can talk about stuff like this. It's like, we dress like this because we started as a podcast, we're a radio show where things are more casual. But sometimes I'm like, everybody else is wearing suit and tie. Like everybody else. Everybody else is wearing. So I was watching my man Kevin Wilds and he's wearing a suit and tie. And I was like everybody else in the industry wearing a suit and tie. I was like, we just never got the, we're like the people that showed up and like forgot to look at the fine print on the invite that says like formal. You know what I mean? And show up in jeans and sneakers.
Actually, here's what happened. We were an actual podcast that graduated to being a radio show that graduated to also being a TV show.
We were late night, so late night didn't feel right. You know what I mean? Just sort of like we kept graduating to different things and we just kept the same dress.
Well, why would you, I mean, but the, like, that's not the linear television content that NBA Countdown is doing and Get Up is doing and SportsCenter is doing is one type of TV. Shows like this and Highly Questionable original content are different personality driven type shows. Like if you remember, our show got on ESPN during the pandemic. That's when voices were needed to the most without sports. The E is for entertainment.
Jalen, I have a Jalen story.
Give the people what they want.
You know the Cowboys, Jalen Smith? I know you always keep track of all your Jalens, right?
Yes, indeed.
So Jalen Smith, Cowboys. He took number 9 for the Cowboys. Tony Romo's number. Now, the number's not retired, so he's well within his rights to pick whatever number's not retired. Sophomore of a boss move, wearing Tony Romo's number.
I like Tony Romo, and he had a really good career. It's a boss move for him to take whatever number that he want. Dez Bryant wore number 88. Michael Irvin's retired number. Drew Pearson's retired number. Tony Romo has not earned, like, dog, for real? For real, you want to be 1,000? Let's be 1,000. You should not be watching a Michigan game in basketball and ever see somebody wearing the number 5. That should not happen.
Is
I feel
number
like
five
I
retired?
Earned that right. I feel like I earned that right with that school more than Tony Romo earned that right with the Cowboys.
It's close. And I
no,
only say it because of this.
No,
you wore
not.
That number
no,
for
not.
3 years.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, let me make the case.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not.
So can someone wear number 4?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So all the Fab Five numbers, can someone take Jimmy's number? Can someone take Ray's number?
No, it's not close. It's not close.
So all five numbers should not be touched. Is that how you feel?
It's not close.
Can someone wear Jimmy's number? Can someone wear Jimmy's number?
The impact, let me just say this. The impact that Tony Romo had on the Cowboys in the NFL is not rival the impact the Fab Five had on the University of Michigan in the NCAA. Well, you said it's so far off. It's like
I would never argue
NBA
that.
It's like comparing inside the NBA to NBA countdown. It's vastly different.
Well, I'm just trying to make a case playing devil's advocate. And what I was going to say was Tony Romo wore it for a very long time. You were limited in the amount of time that you could have it. But
I was there 3 of the 4 years. How many years you want me to wear it?
I said, well, you can only play for 4 years, so you're limited in the amount of time. But listen, we don't have to argue about this. This is stupid.
When you get a chance,
me and my wife start arguing about something. We're like, what are we even talking about?
I'm serious. Now, you asked me, was it a soft move or a boss move? I said it's a boss move for him to wear Tony Romo's number because I don't feel Tony Romo had the kind of impact on the Cowboys or the NFL that warrants no one else wearing his number after him.
I would agree unequivocally, inarguably, that you and your teammates had a bigger impact on the program of Michigan than Tony Romo had on the Dallas Cowboys. How many playoff wins did Tony Romo have? Really?
I think one. Actually.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't want to be wrong, but I really think it's like two or something.
I think one. At least we won like 4 or 5 NCAA tournament games.
Yeah, we went to the final four. It's hard to go to the final four. It's hard to go to the championship. You know, I've said this for a long time on this show. There's no shame in second place. Like, there were 64 teams in that tournament. Y'all were second. Like, there's absolutely no shame in that. No shame
one
in that.
1 year.
Whatsoever.
Remember, always remember, my freshman year, Shaq was in college.
Yo, who was Shaq playing with? They were like Twin Towers his freshman year. I forget who it was.
Stanley Roberts.
But he had Mack Moon on his team, too, at the same time his freshman year, right?
Year before we got to school.
No,
they played
the
together
same?
2 years.
So Mack Moon is the person who made me fall in love with LSU. That's why I watched all the games, and that's when I came up with Shaq. Because Shaq was a different player than he was in the league when he was at LSU. He was just a completely different player. He was bouncy.
Yeah, young Shaq at LSU. And Orlando was blocking everything and grabbing every board. Yes. Once Shaq got to L.A., it was Boardwalker Park Place in the paint. I'm dunking on everybody.
Yes.
And getting buckets.
They were both so much fun to watch. Jalen Rose, one thing I know about you from eating countless lunches, I mean, the amount of lunches that we've eaten together, I can't even count. And one thing I know about you is if there's blackened seasoning in the building, you will have them put on anything. Anything. Steaks. Fish, chicken, like you will have, and I've adopted that too. There is no piece of meat that is not better that's not blackened. Like, can you name one? Like, I can't.
Facts on facts.
Shrimp.
Facts on facts. You speak in my language, baby.
Anything. Maybe like a really
high
quality steak.
Anything blackened.
Maybe a really high quality steak. Like, a steak might not be better blackened, but any chicken, any fish, any shellfish, any pork, maybe not. I've never had blackened pork or black. So I say pork and beef, maybe you can stay away from, but everything else blackened makes it better. Popeyes has a blackened chicken sandwich. Are you excited?
I'm off the fried food as much as possible. So in theory, I'm not excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if this is going to create a new chicken craze. I remember working at South Street Seaport.
Dog,
and
that was too
people
much.
Trying to order chicken sandwiches like
that
they were
too much.
Like they were scarce. Like they
yeah, like
they
toilet paper
enough.
In the pandemic. It was like, that was wild. I remember like that was like 2 weeks, like fried chicken sandwiches took over the internet. It took over pop culture. It was like every day in the rundown was a fried chicken sandwich. I was like, what are we talking about here? Like, you know what? I'll tell you, I'm gonna tell you the truth. Never had one of those sandwiches in my life. Never tried them during the whole craze or any of that. They brought them here to the studio. I don't try to eat fast food. I probably only had Popeyes like four times in my whole entire life.
But I gotta tell you guys something. As you start to get older, that fried food don't sit well on the stomach. Eating like that, and then when you do eat like that, oh man, it's those long mornings for me, going in and out of the bathroom three or four times.
My
stomach be hurting.
Let me tell you something, because you've got that athlete metabolism. Like, you can just walk around the track for 20 minutes for you that's working out, and like, you lose 5 pounds. See, I don't have that metabolism. So that fried chicken sits really well in my stomach in terms of digestion, but it sits on my stomach in terms of my belly. Like, that's why I don't eat fried food. It's not that it doesn't sit well in my stomach. It's that it ends up sitting on my stomach. And that's why I stay away from the fried food.
Exactly. When you start to get older, you got to eat better.
Jalen, I want to say something about Aaron Rodgers, because we only got to briefly discuss him on the show.
Okay.
He knows that Miles Teller's sister, Miles Teller's fiance and or wife, probably wife because her last name's Teller. He knows she's posting those photos. Like, he's posing for those photos. He also knows that those photos are going to end up on the internet. Like, I don't think it's a strategy. I don't think he says to Miles Teller's wife, hey, you can post those so they'll end up on Jalen Jacoby. But I'm telling you, he's not against it. Because he could have easily said, listen, things are hot for me right now. Let's just keep these off social. He could have said that. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of times when I travel, I don't post on social. I don't want people to know where I'm at, or people think I'm missing work or something. But he's not doing that.
So he's the opposite of you. Why does he care where people know where he is? He's an adult. He's having fun. He has no guaranteed contract money. He's living his best life. Why waste days?
Good for him.
So I find myself, and this is like a life exercise, not to get reckless or irresponsible, but it's my way in my mind to appreciate each day I'm breathing. And I constantly, you know, am thankful and all of that good stuff. But I constantly make sure I remind myself, what would I do today if I knew I only had 3 years left, 5 years left, 10 years left, 3 days left, 3 minutes left?
How do you
prepare? When you start to approach life that way, I think it gives you a different perspective. So I'm not mad at him at all. He's not at camp. We know he ain't at camp. So what should he be doing? Sitting in Green Bay?
No, he's in Hawaii, hiking, shirtless. I bring a shirt. If I'm hiking through the woods, I want to wear a shirt and some sneakers. Looks like he got sandals on. You can't go hiking through the woods with sandals on, man. But come on now.
Wait till you see my off-season pictures. July 24th.
I don't want to.
I'm going to be at the Tigers game with no bottoms on like that one guy we saw. When Shohei come to town. My guy hit a home run last night. I'm mad we didn't talk about Shohei on the show today. I'm going to derail Revis and talk about him right now. Do you realize that he and Carlos Stanton have hit the fastest exiting home runs in Major League Baseball this year? Do you realize Carlos Stanton is known as a slugger? And this dude also can go to the mound and throw multiple pitches and strike out 10? Man, he's incredible.
I really love him so much. It's like people are just catching up because he was injured. Like, there's a lot of hype for him coming in, and then he got injured and everybody kind of forgot about him. You know, the Dodgers were good, and there's, you know, stars everywhere. But, like, this year, it's kind of like when Embiid was out for a long time. You just kind of forget about him, or like Blake Griffin, you just kind of forget about him. And then when they come back, you're like, oh, this is what the hype was about. Like, he's like,
no, whoa.
Oh, come
whoa,
on.
Whoa.
No, don't get nitpicky.
Hit the brakes, Reg.
I'm mad at you today.
So Blake Griffin do two left-hand dunks, and now y'all giving him mentions?
Okay, let me tell you something, dog. Let me tell you something.
I'm talking about Blake Griffin.
No, I'm talking about Blake Griffin coming into the league. A lot of hype about him, then he gets hurt, so he disappears and people forget about him. But when he returns from the injury, he blows up, just like he did. Same thing with Joel Embiid. Comes in the league, hurt, sits out for a little bit, people forget about him, and then when then he comes on and explodes. That's the exact example I was using, and I think those are excellent, excellent comparisons.
I got a better one for you.
Excellent comparisons, Mr. Rose.
No. I'll give you two better recent examples.
We're in a fight. Zion.
Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant.
No.
We
no,
forget
bad examples.
About them when they're injured.
No, but I'm talking about hype before they play and they get injured in their rookie year. Like they miss their rookie season like Ben Simmons or something. That's what I'm talking about. Come on.
Well,
man.
Shohei, I love him so much, and I want to just get back to my summer. My tan, my shirt off. Like Aaron Rodgers. You're going to see a lot of my feet on the internet. The top, the bottom. Definitely. July 24th.
My favorite part about this is like, you're like, this is my off season. I'm going on vacation. But you'll still do Jalen and Jacoby every day. You know what I mean? You're like, you're not going to see me. I'm going to get a tan. You're like, this is my off season. But like, you don't even consider this like work, which is my favorite part about this.
There you go. That's exactly right. My off season means... See, don't underestimate this. I work 7 days a week. I do this week, I did J&J 5 days. I'm doing Get Up 3 days, and I'm doing Countdown 3 days. That's 8, and it's only 7 days in a week.
Wait, that's more than 8, first of all. Do the math again. 5 J&J.
5.
3 Get Up.
3. Three. 11.
11.
Exactly.
That's 11 days. You do work 11 days a week. You work 11 days
Correct.
A week.
Correct. I work 11 yeah. days a week. You see what I'm saying? And so
good for you.
The off season for me is no NBA countdown, which now I'm not working on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get up because it's non-NBA season. They'll focus more on football topics. So that becomes my offseason. And yes,
why.
I don't look at this like work because I love the teammates that we work with. I love the staff and I love you, brother. So no, I don't feel like this is work.
And we always say we give the people what they want. So part of that is listening to the people. Our best content in the last 10 years comes from the questions that you ask us, the topics that you bring to us, because you guys bring us stuff that will never make the rundown. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail, and we'll put it on the show just like this.
J&J, what it do, fellas? This is Preston Connor from Houston, Texas, with my beautiful wife and my beautiful baby girl, daughter. Hey, fellas, I got a quick question. I need, not even quick, but I need an extensive list of restaurants that we need to go. We're going to New York to visit next weekend. Visit my brother-in-law and my sister, and never been, and we're trying to find restaurants and food, but, you know, we don't know, and we want to get an idea of some places before we go, and right now, I'm compiling my list off rap songs and things out here in lyrics, which maybe isn't the best thing to do, so please help us out. My wife's getting upset at me, and we need some suggestions. Can you give the people what they want? Shout out to Reg, of course, the best producer of all time. Thank you.
Wow. New York City has no shortage of restaurants. No shortage of restaurants whatsoever. So we want to make sure that we send Preston to the right places. Okay. Number one, I got you. Make sure I say it right. The best pizza I've ever had in New York City. The best I've ever had. And you know I used to make pizza. It is... Lucali in Brooklyn. You're going to get a Brooklyn experience. It's a nice neighborhood. It's like a typical Brooklyn Italian residential neighborhood. Lucali, L-U-C-A-L-I. And Preston, let me tell you something. Last time I was at Lucali, I went in there with my wife. Salad, pepperoni pie, well done. This dude walks in with a suit and an earpiece in, just like I'm wearing right now. You know, like this happened to me and you when we were at a restaurant in Detroit when like the advanced team comes in and I was like, Jalen, are we getting arrested right now? Like we've only had two drinks. What's going on here? Like they had the advanced team with the guys with like the microphones in the wrist and then the mayor showed up. Mayor came over, gave you a pound. That was love. But yeah, well, I was there. Advanced team came. Guess who sat two tables next to us? Beyonce and Jay-Z. And I believe it was their nephew was also with them. Obviously, I didn't discuss anything with them. But you know you're at the right pizza joint when Beyonce and Jay-Z come. It's not even that busy. Like, I don't think you need a reservation. It's not that expensive. That's a great spot to go to. Now, another thing I want to say is it's not so much about the food as it is about the experience for these places. Okay?
Correct.
Like, it's not really, like, I can send you to great cuisine, but that'll send you to, like, Flushing, Queens to get some Chinese or something. But I want you and your wife to, like, experience New York City and have a really nice view. So one thing I would suggest is walk over the Brooklyn Bridge, go to River Cafe. A little expensive, but it's a cafe on the water where you're looking back at the city skyline. It is fantastic. Another place that I would say, Tamarind, T-A-M-A-R-I-N-D, the best Indian food I've ever had in my life. Again, you're gonna pay for it. Best Indian food I've ever had in my life. It is a classic. What else I got for you? I don't know. I think you're gonna be good. Walk over the Brooklyn Bridge, Preston. Walk over the Brooklyn Bridge. Make a reservation at River Cafe. Walk over the Brooklyn Bridge at sundown. When the skies turn orange and purple right over the skyline, it's a nice walk. It's like, three quarters of a mile or something. And right at the base of the bridge, walk over to River Cafe. Don't eat dessert there. Go outside after the River Cafe meal. There's an ice cream shop right there, a bunch of them. Get yourself a scoop of ice cream on a cone. Eat that. Get the ferry times. Take the ferry back to the city. Can't go wrong right there.
Flames.
That's all you
preaching,
need.
Bro.
That's
you preaching.
You do that. You walk over the Brooklyn Bridge, eat at River Cafe, and then get a scoop of ice cream, and then go on the ferry back to the city. You won a weekend. She might propose to you on a ferry, dog.
If you do what Jacoby just said, you better name the baby Jalen and Jacoby.
They're having a second kid. That's the problem. They're having a second kid.
When you look up 9 months later, you're going to trace it back to that New York trip. And be like, oh, that's when we got pregnant. We were in New York. The day we had the ice cream and we held hands walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. I got a couple
I got a great one. Central Park West Side, right around 70th Street. Tavern on the Green. Classic restaurant. Again, food is whatever, but the experience, you're in Central Park, you sit outside, you're watching people ride by on bicycles, the sun's shining, the birds are chirping, get yourself a lunch. You don't even have to eat there. Just go there and get a cocktail outside. And again, not that busy. Like, there's not like a line outside. It's not crazy. Just pop in and say, I'm just gonna have a cocktail at the bar back there. They'll be like, well, you have to order a food item. I'm like, all right, I'll order some snacks. And that Tavern on the Green, River Cafe, Lucali's. Again, I'm at Tamarind. I'm not saying these are the best restaurants in New York City, but you're gonna get a true New York City tourist experience. Go ahead, Jay.
That is terrific advice. I'll go a different route since you made it personal. I'll go the exquisite dining route. So if you want to go like more expensive dining, you could go to Nobu. You could go to Tao, T-A-O.
So you're rich.
You could go to Mr. Chow's. You could go to Philippe Chow. And if you go to Philippe, make sure you get the chicken satay. And that sauce that comes with it, it's just incredible. How about go to Nas Restaurant if you're in Brooklyn? Go to Sweet Chick.
Sweet Chick. Sweet Chick is a good spot.
That's
a nice brunchy spot.
And here's another thing I'm gonna tell you that I love about New York, probably better than anywhere that I visit. And I've been everywhere. You know, I played for 6 teams. You know, I've lived everywhere. You know, playing in the NBA, we travel everywhere. And I promise you, I was not going to bed at 8:00. I probably would have been with Kristaps Porzingis if I was in the league the other night. With that being said, Jacoby, please tell our caller
your three favorite, because this is what I love about New York. Hotel bars.
Oh, my three favorite hotel bars? Ooh. Oh, that's tough, Jay. Oh, man. There's a rooftop one in Midtown. I can't think of the name of the hotel. The one at the Nomad downstairs. This place, oh, I got to come up with the name of this. Stand by. Phil for 30 seconds.
Phil, we got you, Phil.
Oh, I got you downstairs.
You can go to Hudson Yard too, Phil. Take your wifey to Hudson Yard. They just built it. It's a smart city. They have a hotel over there, Four Seasons, with a great rooftop, a great restaurant on the 24th floor. They got an Equinox right there. They have a SoulCycle right there if y'all want to work out and walk and that type of thing. So you can go to Hudson Yard as well. Do some shopping.
Oh, I got you. At the James Hotel on 29th Street, the Seville. Let me tell you about this place. Big shout to Ro, the manager. Recognize me from Jalen and Jacoby. The Seville. You go there. Don't go at 11 at night. It's going to be too many people. It's going to be a thing to be like, are you a hotel guest? Whatever. Go like 5 o'clock. Have a pre-dinner drink there. 29th Street on the east side. You go downstairs. And the beautiful ambiance, great chairs. It's a hotel bar, so it's not really packed. But the live music they have there, I've never seen the same act of live music twice, and I've never been disappointed. And you know I don't like live music. That is my number one hotel bar in New York City, the Seville at the James Hotel on East 29th Street.
I'm glad I gave you the key to unlock the hotel bar thing in New York City, because that's one of my favorite things to do when I'm there.
The Seville, definitely. And just Google rooftop bars, because the rooftop bars are the best, and there's one in every neighborhood. The rooftop bars. Oh, another great hotel bar is the Mondrian, also on the east side, because I used to live over in that area. The Mondrian Hotel. Again, you think you have to be exclusive and spend $1,000 a night to go to this hotel bar? It's on the roof. There's no one there. You're on the roof in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, and it is absolutely beautiful. Preston, we gave you Mondrian Hotel Bar, Seville Hotel Bar, River Cafe, Tamarind. Don't go anywhere Jalen suggested. Don't go anywhere Jalen suggested. I've never been to any of those places. I lived
those
here for 26 years.
Those are the places
years.
I go without you.
Yeah. Don't go to any of those places. I've only been to Nobu. And also, Mr. Chow, if you're going to eat Chinese food, you got to have like 6 people. That's one thing I learned. Like me and my wife go get Chinese. You can't order enough dishes. You want to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So don't do that. Don't do that. Preston, I really appreciate the call. Jalen, I really appreciate you just for everything and for booking Chuck D for the show.
That's mutual, family. That's mutual. Big shows. Big shows.
We have Wizards Sixers tonight. That looks like a sweep. Hawks Knicks tonight. Can't wait for that. I'm locked in on that.
Hawks Knicks. Hawks in 7.
Oh yeah, in the Garden. Do you think the Knicks are gonna lose a game 7 in the Garden? That's what you think is gonna happen?
Well. I mean, they lost game 1. I don't know why.
Barely lost game one.
Are you talking to me like they 45-0 at home? They lost game 1.
They sure did. You know what sure did.
What did he say? It didn't take long for them to lose at home, Jacob.
Everyone wants to talk about the Trae Young floater. It was a great shot. But he's great with floaters. It was that Bogdanovic 3, man. That was the killer.
Correct.
He caught it from around his ankles. The pass came from nowhere. The thing got deflected. Correct. It was just like a broken little play. That was the backbreaker.
After he got dunked on by R.J. Barrett.
Mm-hmm. He aborted the mission, though. When he was in the air, he aborted the mission. He jumped up. Yeah. He's like, no.
You got to hit that arm. You got to whack that arm.
And finally, Jalen.
Ain't no footage on me like that.
Jalen, finally, if you're listening to this after the game is over, I just want to get a very quick prediction because I have no idea. I'm saying I have no idea who's going to win this game. Grizzlies, Jazz. No idea.
Donovan Mitchell confirmed via text to me that he is going to play. So therefore, I'm picking the Utah Jazz at home to tie the series.
I would never ask you, I don't know why Reggie's playing the romantic music, but I would never ask you to reveal your text conversations. I just have a simple question. Did Donovan Mitchell use an emoji?
No.
Okay. No, I thought maybe like a bicep, like a strong bicep or something. No, Jalen's looking at the phone now. I don't want to know anything about your private conversation. I just want to know if Donovan Mitchell is an emoji user. That's all I want to know.
Let me see.
I would never ask you to reveal the secrets. Or I know you're Tom Brady with the phone.
As I go through it, the only emoji he's ever used is 100.
Oh, yeah. That's like Jalen. Jalen says he doesn't use emojis, but he does from time to time. But the 100 he'll use. We'll be back to discuss all those games.
I use that
tomorrow.
In the black fist and the black prayer hands.
Black prayer hands. Yeah, that's a good one too. I like it when people use like four in a row, like black prayer hands, black prayer hands, black prayer hands, black prayer hands, black prayer hands. We'll be back tomorrow to discuss everything. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
All I know is this.
What's that?
Make sure, as our podcast audience, we need y'all watching the show. And if y'all not at home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, record the show.
Just DVR the show.
DVR the show.
And you can erase it after 3 episodes. It's not going to take up any space.
When y'all get a chance, remember, we take pride in having range and giving you guys quality content. We're going to talk about multiple shows. We're going to have artists on the show. We're going to talk about Kristaps at the strip club. Lou Will at the strip club, whatever. We're going to give you advice of where you should go when you come to New York or go anywhere. Threesome advice, dating advice, whatever. This is your parking spot. Jalen and Jacoby. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.